Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Our guest today, Peter Broderick, is a leading distribution strategist. Peter consults with filmmakers and media companies to develop strategies to maximize distribution, audiences, and revenues. Peter is one of the most influential advocates of digital movie making and is now focused on the revolution in film distribution. His seminal reports, Welcome to the New World of Distribution and Declaration of Independence, are concise guides to the latest distribution strategies. Carol, welcome back to the show. I know we had a little bit of a problem with some technical difficulties on the Blog Talk system, but it looks like we're good to go. Are you here with us?
Yes.
I am.
Great.
Peter is here?
I'm here.
He is.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, Peter, thank you so much for the donation that you give to the From the Heart Film Grant. It's sincerely appreciated.
You're welcome.
And thank you for being on the show. And we love this whole new concept of hybrid distribution. So that's the main concept today. And I really wanted to start with a question that is based on what you have on your website that says, quote, in this new era of distribution, every film needs a customized distribution strategy to maximize audience and revenue. Filmmakers cannot realize the full possibilities of their films if they adopt a traditional one-size-fits-all strategy or none at all. So can you give us some more details on this concept?
Sure. I think it's helpful to just juxtapose two worlds. There's an old world of distribution, which is the sort of way that distribution has worked for decades and is no longer working very well. And alongside it is this new world of distribution that started in, 2002, 2003, and has been gaining momentum since then. In the old world, filmmakers didn't really have strategies. They just had reactions. So they'd get a distribution offer, and they'd respond to that offer, but they wouldn't be thinking about, you know, kind of what would be the sort of ideal way to get their movie into the world. In the new world of distribution, which is much more complicated, filmmakers are splitting up their rights. They're not just giving all their rights to one company. So they might have somebody doing television, another company handling DVD, another company doing their educational distribution. So it's a hybrid model where they're working with a number of partners often, and they're retaining rights to sell directly from their websites and at screenings. So many of my clients sell DVDs, downloads and streams directly from their websites, and they also sell DVDs at screenings. The combination of direct sales and third-party sales, I think, is the way for filmmakers to make the most money and also retain the most control over their distribution.
Absolutely. It makes so much more sense. And DVD sales are dwindling and downloads are going up. So I think that's even better for filmmakers because then they're more in control, right?
Definitely. And just to compare, if you were selling a DVD from your website, and let's say that the price of the DVD was $24.95 plus shipping and handling, or that DVD was being sold in a store, so when it's being sold from your website, you'll receive $24.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling, like almost $30. And of that $30, you could probably retain about $21 as profit from that sale.
Mm-hmm.
If you're selling in a store, and the retail price is $24.95, the wholesale price is going to be roughly $12.50.
Mm-hmm.
And in a kind of traditional old-fashioned video deal, you would get 20% of wholesale, so you get $2.50. Now, you get $2.50 on two conditions. The first is that you have an honest distributor, and the second is that if you do, that you live long enough, because it's going to take a long time for that $2.50 to make its way to you. So on the one hand, there's $2.50 someday, hopefully, and on the other hand, there's $21 profit that could happen within a few days of somebody putting their credit card online that's going directly to you. But another difference, and maybe even more important than the difference in revenue, is the fact that when you're making a direct sale, you're getting the name and an email address of the buyer. So that person becomes your customer. They can be part of your mailing list, part of your fan base, and you can go back to them if there's other versions of the film or take them with you to the next films you make. So I think it's very, very important to have the possibility of doing direct sales so you can build your personal fan base.
Right. And actually, with the numbers you just gave us, you're making nine times more than you would. In other words, if you make one sale, it would be equal to the sale of nine DVDs through a distributor where you're waiting forever to get your money.
Correct.
So you got the name, because this is what a lot of filmmakers complain about, and particularly artists and writers, when they sell their books on Amazon. Amazon has their mailing list. They don't.
Right. So I think I think that's a really important point. And filmmakers, when I talk with filmmakers, do presentations internationally, I ask people in the audience, I say, how many people of you have websites? A lot of hands go up. How many of you people are on Facebook? A lot of hands go up. How many of you are have meaningful mailing lists? And almost no hands go up. Then people say, well, what is a meaningful mailing list? So I explain that it's a list where you have the name and email address and an ability to you know, contact that person. And I had a meeting with a distributor a couple months ago, and we were comparing the importance of being on Facebook, having your own website, Twitter, having a mailing list. And far and away, having a great mailing list is more important than all of the other ones. And I would put, you know, having a website second and then being on Facebook third. But that mailing list is something that every filmmaker should be building. And I'm not saying you should be emailing those people every day with, you know, promotional things. But if you can create some kind of regular contact with them, I have a distribution bulletin that I send out to filmmakers around the world that talks about, you know, new developments in distribution. It's free. And the complaints that I get about it are that I don't send it out often enough. But when people receive it, they're happy to receive it. It's not promoting me. It's just giving them some information that hopefully will be of value to them. So I think if you can build a regular mailing list and then have regular contact with them, it can make all the difference in the world.
Yes, I think it can. Well, here's an example. I have a filmmaker who I'm working with, and she's doing a film about Ocean Driven with a stand-up paddle guy who's paddling across the ocean, and she gets something like 50,000 hits on her website a month. Now,
wow.
How would you suggest that she get those names? Any suggestions?
Well, I think on the homepage of the website, it should be something like, join the community, join us. And then when people click on it, it should open a page where people can put in the information you want, the basic information you want is the name, email address, and zip code. The zip codes are really important, because if you're going to do screenings around the country and you know you're going to screen in Chicago, if you have the zip codes, you can reach everybody in the Chicago area and let them know about the screening. And they might come to the screening. They might tell their friends about the screening. There's all sorts of ways that, that having that information will help you. So you'd click on the homepage. You'd go to the page about getting on, you know, join us. And then you'd see, what does that mean? And if it says, and there's some examples recently where I've met with filmmakers and one of the people on the team was a really talented photographer. So I said, well, what if you created a mailing list and you said once a month you'll send them a great still? And so when they got, you know, when I got the email, they'd be, wow, there's another great still for us. It costs you nothing to do that. You could send, you know, low-resolution photos, so there's no real issue of, you know, piracy or whatever people would be concerned about. So if you create something that has utility for people, where they actually look forward to those newsletters or photos or videos or music or whatever you can send them regularly, I think it's a way to really build a relationship. So in her case, I think if she lets people know, sign up, join us, and this is what you're going to get for it, then, you know, people are willing to give it a try, and if they like it, they'll keep doing it, and if they don't like it, they can unsubscribe.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow, that's really good advice.
And I'll give you one more way to do it, Carol, which is I'm going to talk. I think we'll have time to talk about them a little bit. But there's there are filmmakers that have made it in Australia that have made a film called Food Matters.
Yes.
And you go to the website, which is foodmatters.tv, and there's so much content. It's really fantastic. Some of it's text, some of it's videos. You know, it's just great. So you can, all of it's accessible for free. But if you want to watch any of the video content, they ask for you to essentially register, which is give them your name and email address. So you've joined their mailing list. And that's good for you and good for them.
Wonderful. Okay, that makes sense. So they so if you want to watch the video, you can do it for free, but you have to register, and that
right.
is.
And
yes.
Yes, and register is simply just putting a name and email. There's no big form or any big process.
I remember reading about those people in your bulletin, and I do love your bulletins, and I'm on the list for more, please.
Well, there'll be one coming
soon.
What
I love
about it is
that
there'll be a new one coming soon.
Oh, great. Good to hear. These people didn't know, they had never made a film before, so they didn't really know about going to a distributor. They thought it might be better if they did it online and marketed it themselves, and perhaps that would help them get a distributor. And in the meantime, they sold a gazillion DVDs, right?
Yeah, they sold, I think, 50,000 copies in the first 6 months, which is a phenomenal number of copies. And then they went to distributors and said, well, this is how it's gone so far, and, you know, this kind of gives you a sense of our audience. And the distributors said, oh, well, you did things in the wrong order. You don't know what you're doing. We're not interested. So the filmmakers kept selling, and the last number I heard from them was that they sold 230,000 DVDs, which is incredible. And as a result of selling those DVDs, they had a mailing list of 169,000 people.
Wow.
And they didn't sell all of those directly. Some of those were through other websites and, you know, other situations. And they did have a few distribution deals, like one in the United States with a film company called Passion River. So when they did an experiment, and normally the DVD cost $24.95, but they sold it for 1 week at half price. And during that week, they sold 4,600 copies of the DVD, which is the most they'd ever sold in a week, and they thought that was pretty good. So a year later, they did another experiment, and that experiment was to put it online for free for a week and to see what would happen. Well, as a result of doing that, they sold 10,000 DVDs. So they said, half price gets us 4,600 DVD sales. Free gets us 10,000 DVD sales, and we're going to get the names and email addresses of everybody who watched the DVD, I mean the stream, and in the previous case where they were selling at half price, they only got the names of the people who bought it. So they said, okay, well, free can be good. So now it came time to do their next film, which is called Hungry for Change. So they said, well, we're going to do something that's never been done before. We're going to put the movie online for free for 10 days. That's what we're going to do. That's our worldwide premiere. It'll be before we do any festivals or in theaters or on television. And in 10 days, 440,000 people watched the movie in over 150 countries.
Wow.
So they were able to double their mailing list from that to 329,000 people worldwide. And they also made DVDs and recipe books available in a two-week period overlapping the 10 days. And they sold more than $1 million of recipe books and DVDs in 2 weeks.
Oh, my.
That's
amazing.
And then they moved into more traditional release mode, and this past October, New Video in the United States released the film on DVD and digitally. HarperCollins published a book that the filmmakers wrote at the same time, and it's done extremely well. So this is the sort of idea of the future here. Those filmmakers are now truly independent because they have a large enough following that they can basically self-finance their own movies and pick and choose distribution partners that they need, and they can continue to make movies. They don't need permission from anybody.
Oh, I love it. And they knew nothing when they started. It wasn't it because a member of their family was ill?
Yeah, the father of the man and the couple was ailing, and they thought that if he changed what he ate, that could really help him. And so they bought him some books, but Dad just couldn't read the books. And then they said, well, we've got to make a movie for Dad. And they learned how to make a movie. And when they learned about distribution, I've been working with them for, I think, 4.5 years, they were in a great situation because they didn't know anything about distribution. So they didn't have to unlearn the old world of distribution, which no longer applied. They could just start from scratch and go step by step. And it's been a tremendous success.
Wonderful. Well, can I ask you, did you give advice to Brian, a producer of Forks Over Knives, to work with
him?
I
did. I worked for the Forks Over Knives team. And that's a really great case because they came to me very early. We did a number of consulting sessions. And then they took those ideas and applied them. I didn't hear from them for a while. I just was reading about, how well the movie was doing. And then at one point, John Corey came to me about a new film, and he told me various things that had happened with Forks Over Knives, and he encouraged me to talk to Brian and to find out all that had happened, and maybe I would want to write a distribution bulletin about it. So I talked to Brian, and he told me the story. And the story is a great story, and there's so many lessons in it for filmmakers and I think it's very, very inspiring. And basically, Forks Over Knives is another documentary about eating healthily. I mean, it's a plant-based diet that it's about. And so when the filmmakers were finishing the movie, while they were editing, they did a lot of test screenings with audiences. And this is something that most independent filmmakers do not do enough of. I encourage any filmmakers that are listening that when you're getting in the final stages of your movie, do not just show it to friends and family. Show it to strangers and seriously find out, their reactions. And, you can do a little questionnaire that maybe people spend 5 or 10 minutes filling out, and then there can be a discussion with everybody. And there's just so much to learn. And in the case of Forks Over Knives, I think they did at least 20 test screenings during the editing process. So by the time they were done with the movie, they knew the whole range of reactions, and hopefully they were able to improve different aspects and get better reactions. So that's one thing they did. And then they decided they were going to do screenings. Once the film was done, they were going to do word-of-mouth screenings to spread the word. And they partnered with some local Whole Foods stores. They didn't work with a Whole Foods company in general. They just went in Philadelphia. They went to the Whole Foods store. They liked the idea, and they partnered, and there was a screening. And these screenings attracted a lot of people, spread a lot of word about the movie, good word. And then they released the movie theatrically, and the movie did very well theatrically. So they had built this, you know, terrific awareness of the film. And then it came out on DVD, and it was a really big hit on DVD. Then they published a book, and the book became a bestseller. Then they published a second book, and that's been doing well, very well. And then the most recent thing they've done is they've organized these weekends where people get together and have classes about cooking and nutrition. You know, I'm sure they eat a lot of good food. And to attend a weekend, it costs $550. And I think the last weekend they did, they sold almost 500 tickets. So the brand is there for the books, the weekend, the DVD. And they didn't set out to build a brand, but they managed to do it.
So building, this is all part of building a brand then. This is because I hear this terminology, build a brand. So it really starts with what?
Well, I think the elements of a brand, I mean, first of all, you have to make a movie about a subject that people care about, and you need to make a movie that they like. Okay, so let's start with those two things.
Okay.
I think having a good title.
Yeah.
You know, Forks Over Knives, I think, is actually a great title.
Right.
You know, the kind of the idea of Forks Over Knives is that, you know, you can, if you're eating a plant-based diet, you can use a fork.
Right.
You don't need a knife as if you were eating meat. And Food Matters, I think, is another great title. Hungry for Change is another great. So a good title, a film on a topic that's, you know, a lot of interest in, and a film that people respond to. So then they sort of trust the filmmakers to, you know, do more things that they're going to like. Could be publish a book, could be do a, you know, another film, could be, you know, do these weekends. But as people go forward in their careers, and I mean, in a way, I think it's like your book, Carol, too. You've just, you know, done the second edition, and so you had fans of the first edition, then you brought new people into it, and, you know, now so many people know and are using the book. So, you know, if you were going to write another book on another topic, maybe you'd figure out a way to kind of have the title somewhere on the cover and in the promotion, at least, because people, you know, believe in that.
Right. I just want to let you know that we have about 2 minutes left in the show, so we want to cover whatever else is the most important topic right now.
Well, I think that it's, at what stage in production do you think people should come to you and tell us more about how you work with someone, please?
What I do is I help filmmakers design a customized distribution strategy for their film that takes into account their content, their audiences, the versions of the film they're making. I consult with folks sometimes before they make a movie, and they develop a distribution plan that they can use to go and help them find the resources to make the film. Sometimes I work with people at the end of the process. Typically, I start working with folks. I do 3 consulting sessions and watch the movie. Those sessions might be spread out over 6 months. And then from that point on, I'm available to help them on an as-needed basis as they go through distribution. And in some cases, they may want me to negotiate deals for them, and I can do that as well.
Oh, how exciting. You would recognize a good deal or a bad deal and know where the pitfalls are. So all of it is really beneficial. And I would really like the 6 months because when you give them ideas and suggestions, it takes time to go out and do it. And then,
definitely.
you want to come back and say, okay, I'm ready, now what's next?
Right, right.
And so
if people are interested, they can contact me through my website. It's www.peterbroderick.com, and that's spelled Peter, as in P-E-T-E-R, and then my last name is B as in boy, R, O, D as in dog, E, R, I, C, K. They're interested in, you know, my help. There's a form that they can fill out, and they can send me information about their film, and then I could conceivably do a call to discuss the film with them. And there's also some articles like the one called Welcome to the New World of Distribution that's on there. If they want to subscribe to my distribution bulletin, they can also do that through the website.
Well, if
Wonderful.
Someone has not finished their rough cut, but they're just starting on it, could they come to you?
Nobody's ever come to me too early. and actually, if people are in editing, it's often good for me to see the movie before they lock picture, because I can give them constructive feedback as part of the
I want to remind our listeners that
Thank
David Raiklin
so
is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at fromtheheartproductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.